Chapter 1. Welcome to New York City. Is this your first trip to New York? Asked the man sitting next to me on the plane. He had noticed that I was reading a guidebook of the city. Yes, it is, I answered. I've always wanted to go there. The man's name was George, and he was very friendly. He was from New York and worked as an editor of the entertainment section for the New York Times, the city's most prestigious newspaper. He told me that he was returning from visiting a friend in Madrid. He also told me a lot of interesting things about New York that weren't in my guidebook. I really appreciated all the information he was giving me. I explained that I wanted to feel what it was like to live in New York and to meet real New Yorkers. George laughed. What do you think a real New Yorker is? He asked. Someone like you or my father, I replied. He was born and grew up there. Well, I grew up there, but I wasn't born there, George said. I was born in Athens. George explained that his parents were from Greece. Shortly after he was born, they moved to New York City. My father worked very hard, George said. First, he bought a small fruit shop in the Bronx and made it popular. Then he sold it and bought a bigger one. After that shop became successful, he sold it too and bought an even bigger one. Now he has got an enormous fruit market in Queens. He's the definition of a real New Yorker. People from different races and cultures have been coming to New York to make a better life for themselves since the city was founded. It has always had a mixture of cultures and religions. You'll see that there are people there from every part of the world, and they're all real New Yorkers. That includes your friend Jason, who has been in the city for less than a year. He moved there to live his dream, and that makes him a New Yorker. I guess that's the main reason why it's such a special place. While we were waiting for our luggage, George asked me how I planned to get to my friend's flat. I told him that I was going to take a bus into the city and then call my friend to come and get me. That could take a long time, George said. JFK Airport is far from the city centre, and you'll probably have to wait some time for a bus. I have a car waiting for me. I'd be happy to take you to your friend's flat. Thank you, but I don't want to trouble you, I replied. I don't mind taking the bus. Don't be silly, said George. A lot of people think that New Yorkers aren't friendly. Maybe it's because we're always in such a hurry. I want to prove to you that we actually are very friendly. I accepted his kind offer, and when I saw his big car, I knew that I had made the right choice. It was enormous, and I felt like a film star sitting in it. During the drive, George told me about interesting places that weren't in my guidebook, including his favorite pizza shop, and made a list of them for me. Suddenly, I saw the New York skyline outlined in the early evening sky with all the buildings lit up, including the Empire State Building. It's hard for me to describe what I felt at that moment. It was so beautiful. I'm jealous, George said. Why? I asked, surprised. I love this city, he explained, but I've never had the look of wonder in my eyes that you have now. I guess that it's because I grew up here and I'm accustomed to it. I tried to notice everything we passed as we drove through the streets of Manhattan. Just before reaching Jason's flat, we passed through Times Square. I was amazed. There were so many people, lights, and traffic. It had an energy I've never felt before or since. It was like seeing your favorite film star in person. I had seen these streets so many times in the films, and now I was really here. A few blocks later, the limousine stopped in front of Jason's building. George helped me with my bags while I rang my friend's bell. Seconds later, Jason appeared at the door to welcome me, and I introduced him to George. They shook hands. Well, I must go now, George said. I'm feeling really tired. Thank you so much for everything, I said. You've given me a wonderful introduction to the city. You're welcome, he replied. Here's the list of places that I mentioned and my personal card. Feel free to call if you need something. I hope you have a lot of fun during your stay. Goodbye. George got into his car and drove away. Jason turned to me with a smile. Well, you really know how to travel in style, he said. I told Jason how I had met George as we carried my two heavy suitcases up to his flat. It was a fourth-floor walk-up, called that because there was no lift. After resting from the exercise, Jason suggested that we take a walk to Times Square as it was nearby. It sounded perfect. Jason's flat was on 46th Street, between 9th and 10th Avenues. It's very easy to get around Manhattan because most of the streets and avenues are numbered. The streets go from north to south, but increase in number as you go north. The avenues go from east to west and increase in number as you go west. This is called a grid system. Barcelona has the same thing in L'Eixample, El Ensanche. Only the streets aren't numbered there. The only part of Manhattan that isn't in a grid system is the most southern part. That's where the original settlement was located. In 1626, a Dutch businessman named Peter Minuit bought the island of Manhattan from the local Native Americans, or Indians as they were called in those days, for 60 Dutch guilders, 600 euros today. Gradually, the settlement became a city, and in the early 1800s, the grid system was established to give some order to its expansion. This neighborhood is called Hell's Kitchen, Jason said as we walked along. Hell's Kitchen? I exclaimed. That's where my father was born and grew up. He said that it was a very dangerous neighborhood because it was very near the piers where the ships used to arrive and there were a lot of criminals in the area. It doesn't look so dangerous now. That's because the piers aren't used anymore, Jason explained. Many of the old buildings have also been renovated. It's a much more expensive neighborhood now. I suppose it's changed a lot, I said. Well, there's one thing that hasn't changed, Jason said. A lot of actors and dancers still live here like they used to when your dad was young. This particular street has always been called Dancers Row. Why is that? I asked. Hell's Kitchen is just west of Times Square, replied Jason. It's much more convenient to live a few streets away from the theatre district than to take a 40-minute subway ride to get here. If I have any auditions while you're here, you'll understand. Just then, we arrived at Times Square. I've returned there many times since then, and I always feel the same energy and vitality. I live in Madrid and have often been to London, but I've never seen so many different kinds of people walking past me. George was right. People from all over the world live here. There was so much to look at. There were enormous advertisements everywhere. To my right stood the building where the ball comes down during the countdown to midnight on New Year's Eve, just as in the Puerta del Sol in Madrid. There were Broadway theatres all around me with bright adverts for the shows that were playing. We stopped to listen to a really good jazz saxophonist on one street, and then moved on to a man playing the bagpipes dressed in traditional Scottish clothes, kilt included, on the next street. It seemed like the whole world was condensed into this square. Eventually, we entered a piano bar to have a drink. As the piano player sang songs from famous Broadway musicals, Jason and I started to catch up on the past 2 years. But we didn't get very far because I suddenly felt very tired. The jet lag was starting to hit me. "I think that we'd better get you home to bed," Jason said. "I'm sorry," I replied. "It must be the change in time zones. I guess I'm still on Madrid time, and it's 3 a.m. there." "That's okay. You need your sleep," said Jason. "We're going to have a full day tomorrow." "We already have plans for tomorrow?" I asked tiredly. "Of course," replied Jason. "Tomorrow is Thanksgiving. We have a parade to go to in the morning and a dinner in the evening." This was certainly not going to be a slow, relaxing holiday.